Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. If you get hot, you can move. There's three seats right here. If you're hot, right now is the time to move. There's three seats here. There's three seats right there. In the shade, there's three seats. Get up and do it. And while I have the moment here, home groups are canceled tonight because of the baptism. Unless your leader has said otherwise. So if you don't know, give them a call. But for the most part, they're canceled. So get up and move if you want to. There are seats that are in the shade. Those that are moving are wise. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 37. Acts 2:37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this wicked generation. Father, I thank you again for this great book of Acts, the action book. And I pray that this church would be a book of Acts church, action. That we would be filled, Lord, with your Spirit and empowered to do what you would want us to do. Bless the teaching of your scriptures, Lord. May there be encouragement and exhortation and action. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question. Five frogs are sitting on a log. Four of them decide to jump off. How many frogs are left? Five. Because deciding and doing are two very different things. Saying you're going to do something and actually following through and doing it are very different. Actions and words quite often don't match up. This was made a reality to me a couple of years ago. It was September of 2001, right after, about 3 weeks after 9/11. And my wife and I had loaded up our car on a Sunday. And we were driving out to church out of Applegate Christian Fellowship. And as we were driving out Highway 238, I ended up getting a flat tire. And so, I said to my wife, no problem. We had one child at that time, Carissa. And so we were actually a half hour early. I said, I can change this tire and we can still make it to church on time. Since that time, we've had two additional kids. We're lucky to be a half hour late when we get somewhere. This morning we're early, so I jump out of the car, and that's when the trouble started. I tried to find the jack and the tire iron, and some dumb engineer had hid them. Part of it was underneath the back seat, of all places. You had to pull it, I had to take Carissa out of her car seat, move the car, pick up the back seat. The other part was hidden in this compartment, secret compartment. So 10 minutes later, I get the pieces together. I jack up the car, I take off the bad tire, and then I go back to remove the spare tire. That's when I got mad. The wrench, the lug nuts that hold the four tires on, the four regular tires, those lug nuts are a different size than the bolts that hold the spare tire on. So I couldn't take it off. I got mad at the engineers. I got mad at the car manufacturer. I got mad at the car dealership. I got mad at the people that sold us the tires. I was just mad. How can this be? I got over it. Said to my wife, all right, I'm going to hitchhike home. Get the real tools, and I'll be back, and we'll change this tire. And I thought, I'll get a ride easy, because I'm in my Sunday best. flip-flop shorts and a brand new t-shirt. People will pick, I'll get a ride. Well, I got out there on Highway 238, and right away this young guy picks me up and gives me a ride up to the cutoff there to our house, James Drive. From there, it's about 3 miles. I'm still thinking, oh, no problem. I'll get a ride. And I started to jog, kind of jogging, holding my thumb out, jogging along. Now, you know that I don't care to run. It's one of those things that I don't like to do. Runners talk about second winds and all that kind of stuff and endorphin rushes. I just think it's the heat, exhaustion, or good old-fashioned hallucinating. I don't believe any of it. And even worse, I don't have the proper footwear. I'm wearing flip-flops. So here I am jogging along. It's about 3 miles from James Drive 238 to my house. I got my thumb out. I'm jogging along, and cars are passing me by. And this one particular car, I remember jogging along. I looked back, and it was a pickup truck with a young guy my age driving it. No one in the passenger seat. And I thought, oh, he'll pick me up. Nope, drives right by. And there on his back bumper is one of those patriotic 9/11 bumper stickers. You know the ones. This one said, Americans supporting America. And I remember watching him drive by, and I thought, I'm America. Support me. Pick me up. Here I am. And drove by. A couple minutes later, another guy in a little sedan flies by. He's got one, and it said something like, I break for Americans. I'm thinking, here I am. Break for me. Stop. Well, no one gave me a ride. I ended up jogging, running all the way home, 3 miles in flip-flops, and I had this blister about the size of a 50-cent piece on my toe pad for about a month. A constant reminder, physical reminder of my pain. Mentally, emotionally, I'm still not over it. So if you see me on 6th Street yelling at traffic, you'll know why. What bothered me, though, in my delusional state, and I'm not saying you should pick up hitchhikers, I'm not, be led by the Spirit on those things, but what bothered me in my delusional state was it didn't seem like what they were saying on their bumper sticker was matching up with what they were doing to me. If you support America, support me. It bothered me. What they said and what they did were two different things. But what I was blessed by this past week as I studied Acts chapter 2 is you see the very opposite take place here. Peter preaches this message, preaches this sermon. And as a preacher, as a sermon giver, I love what happened here. He just preaches this message. And then look at verse 37. It says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I love that. Man, I wish that would happen after my messages. Peter was a little better than me. What should we do? We've heard you preach this message. We've heard what you've said. And we understand it's not enough for us just to hear it. It's not enough for us to put a bumper sticker on our car. We need to have actions. We need to have something more than just hearing. It's what the Bible calls those that hear and do. And I personally, more and more and more, I want to be a Christian that when I hear something in a message from a brother, when I hear something, that I am also a doer of God's word. Not just a hearer only, but a doer also. Well, Matt, why is that important? Two things to note quickly this morning. Two problems that I've seen in my own life that can occur when you hear only and you don't do. When you hear good messages, when God speaks to your heart through your devotional time, when God speaks to your heart from another brother, when you hear, you know, I should be doing that. Two problems that can happen when you're a hearer only, that when you don't back up what you hear, what God speaks to your heart with actions. Two problems. Problem number one, you're deceived about your foundation. That's problem number one. What do I mean? Well, flip over with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. This one comes from Jesus himself. You're deceived about your foundation. Matthew chapter 7 is the conclusion of Jesus Christ's longest recorded message. 3 chapters long. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. This message in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is powerful. The Beatitudes he starts out with. What are the Beatitudes? It's attitudes that we ought to be being. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Those things. The Beatitudes. It talks about Jesus' mission statement there. He gives his mission statement. He tells us about the destiny of Israel. He shares on how to give, how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is found in there. He shares on how to spot false prophets, false people, people that aren't really doing the work of God. They're just acting like it. But I love most, what I love most is how he concludes the Sermon on the Mount. One of the most powerful messages ever preached. Probably the most powerful message ever preached. Look how he concludes it. Verse 27 of chapter 7. Excuse me, verse 24 of chapter 7. The conclusion to Jesus' longest message, he concludes it this way. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Jesus says to those gathered people that would listen to this message, he would say there's two groups here. There's two groups here. There's those that hear these words of mine. Everyone had heard them. There's those that hear these words of mine, and you're like those guys in Acts chapter 2, pricked in your heart. What should I do now? I'm going to put this truth to action in my life. And Jesus says, if you're like that, then you're a man that's building his house upon a solid rock. But there's a second group of people, Jesus would say. You're hearers only. You heard it, but you're never going to do anything with it. It hasn't changed you. And he says, that guy is building his house upon the sand. And we can be deceived. We can be deceived about our foundation. We think because we're here on Sunday or here on Wednesday or at a Bible study, we can think we're building on a solid foundation, but we're being deceived. Because it's not hearing, it's doing. It's a lot like dreaming. Scientists have found that when you're learning a new skill, playing the guitar, typing, learning to swing a hammer, learning some athletic activity, God forbid it would be running, but let's say you're learning to run. At night, when you go to sleep, after you practice that skill, the brain goes into a dress rehearsal of that. They've monitored, done brain scans, and seen the same exact areas of your brain light up in the same patterns as if you were actually doing it, swinging that hammer, typing that message, whatever. It's going through a dry run, a dress rehearsal. It's your brain practicing. But as you know, your body isn't involved. Because your brain sends a message to the neurons in your spinal cord that prevent them from transmitting motor movements to your body. The only part, in fact, that is connected that has motor movements is your eyes. Because they have a direct connection to your brain. That's for reflex reasons. There's not enough time for your spinal cord to get the message. And then your eyes send it to the spinal cord and your spinal cord is sent it to your brain. So there's a direct connection. So you'll see people, like your kids, when they're sleeping, their eyes will be fluttering. But the rest of your body, it's just laying there. You're dreaming. You think you're running. You think you're kicking a ball. You think you're swinging a hammer. But your brain's deceived you. Your body, it's laying there asleep. And I think too often, I can be one that has a chance to study God's Word, read books, hear God's Word. And I can think, because I've heard it, that must mean now that I'm doing it. But you know what? I'm foolish. I'm building then my career. I'm building my family. I'm building my future on sand. And the next big storm to come, look out. Perhaps you know people that you say they were in church with me on Sundays. They would go to Bible studies, but then something happens in their life, a tragedy, a storm blows through. And guess what? All of us will have storms in our lives. And then the minute there's a storm, they say, forget it. I'm checking out. I don't believe it anymore. Could be that they were hearing only. They weren't putting it to practice. They were here on Sundays, but they were deceiving themselves. It was only brain work. There was no action. And Jesus would say, that man is foolish. He's building his house upon the sand. The wise man, the wise woman, says, when I hear something from God through his word, when I hear something from God in a sermon on Sunday, when I hear something from God in a book I'm reading, I'm going to put it to practice in my life. That's a wise person that is building their house upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived about your foundation. What God speaks to you, put it into action. Don't be, as the book of James says, a forgetful hearer. That's number one problem. You're deceived about your foundation. I've been deceived about my foundation. Thinking that I study it, I must be doing it. There's a second problem, though. Not just deceived about your foundation, but secondly, decreased in your fire. Decreased in your fire. Flip over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. You're saying, where is 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians is after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. So it's right in there. Do you know how you can remember the order of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians? You could do it. One of those. What are those? Mnemonic? No. Whatever they are. This is the way I remember it. Look at the first vowel in each one of those. It's A, or it's Galatians A, Ephesians E, Philippians I, Colossians O. So A, E, I, O. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. That's a freebie. No payment there. It's right after that. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We get an interesting insight in God's word here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8:19. What did I say? 8:19? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was going to say 18, and I meant to say... So, chapter 5, verse 19. It says there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Paul would say something very similar in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. You can look at those on your own time. He says, grieve not the spirit there. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Paul here links the two together. Quench the fire of the spirit. When you despise, or literally the Greek there, the original language of the New Testament, means to count as nothing. When you count as nothing prophesying, there's a reduction, there's a decrease in God's fire of the Spirit in your life. Well, Matt, what's prophesying? Is that where some guy says in a real deep voice, like I have, thus saith the Lord? Well, not necessarily. Strong's Concordance, which gives you the definition of many of the words found in the Bible, it defines it simply as this: discourse emanating from a divine source, from God. It's simply, in English, God speaking to you. Quench not the spirit, count as nothing when you count as nothing when God speaks to you. There's a quenching of the spirit when you or I count as nothing what God says to you. Ah, Lord, thanks for your advice, but you know what? I'm going to do this instead. Lord, that was a great message, but you know, it's not really for me. That's quenching the Spirit. That reduces the fire of the Spirit. Wait a second, Matt. You're saying that what I do can affect God, can change God? I thought the Bible says God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. How could what I do possibly quench God? Change God? Great question. Let me give you what I call my alarm clock theology. What's alarm clock theology? It's this. Let's say I see the light. I decide I need more activity. Typing on a keyboard is just not going to do it. Going out to lunch all the time with you guys, it's adding up, literally. So I've got to get out there. I'm going to start, God forbid, running. Now, the odds of that happening are the same as the ducks beating the beavers in the Civil War. My email is getting a little slow, so. So I decide I'm going to start running. So tonight, I tell my wife, all right, I'm running 5 miles tomorrow. I set my alarm clock for 5 a.m. Well, as things go, I don't end up getting to bed till about midnight. Get to bed at midnight. Wow. Feels like 5 minutes. That alarm's going off 5 a.m. It wakes me up. The first time it goes off, oh, I'm wide awake. But like a supercomputer, I recalculate the time necessary to run 5 miles, have my devotions, eat breakfast, make it to work, and guess what? I can do it all in 10 minutes less time. Snooze bar. Go back to sleep. 10 minutes later, that alarm goes off a second time. The first time, it woke me right up. This time, though, oh, man, I just slap around for a little while, hit the snooze bar, back to sleep. The volume hasn't changed, but its effect on me has changed. The third time my alarm goes off, this time, it's playing a song that I kind of like. So I don't even bother turning it off. I'm just snoozing right through it. And I wake up at 7 in the morning. That's what happens. That's what's being spoken of right here. We're not changing God, but his effect on us is weakened. At first when he speaks to you, man, your pulse increases. There's goosebumps on your arms. You know I need to do this, but you say no. And 10 minutes later, 10 days later, 10 weeks later, again the Lord speaks to you. This time though, it's not quite as rousing. It doesn't quite get you. You just kind of, yeah, that's a good idea. The third time you're snoozing right through it. Because you despised him speaking to your heart. You didn't do anything with what he said. And now his effect on you is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. I found it happened to me. I rededicated my life. My sophomore summer, went back to college, and there was a couple guys God really put on my heart. You need to tell them about the Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. And I was praying for them, and I really, you know, I want to do this, Lord. And I got back to college, and I saw one of them, the most important guy, good friend of mine. That first week there in the MU quad at Oregon State University, there's hundreds of people walking along. I see him over there. And there was this voice that said, Matt, talk to him. Share with him. Do it, Matt. My heart rate increased. Okay, no, Lord, there's too many people around here. I'll find a better place. And I went home. I saw him a couple weeks later. Again, there he is, Matt. Talk to him. Share with him. This time, though, the heart rate didn't really quicken. I'm not going to. Months later, see him a third time. This time I have lunch with him. Don't even bother talking with him about the things of the Lord. Why? What happened? God's voice speaking into my heart was decreased. I had quenched his fire because I wouldn't obey. I heard it, but I didn't do anything with it. And it decreased my fire. It's sad. But here's the good news. The opposite is just as true. If we will begin to listen, Lord, this is what you're speaking to me. I'm going to act on that. I'm going to put this into play. I'm going to start doing that in my life. Guess what happens? His voice gets stronger and stronger in your life. That's what Hebrews chapter 5 is all about. Read it when you have a chance. It's a group of people that they're hearing only. Paul says you should, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews. I gave it away there. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews says, you should be further along. You've heard it. You know it. But you're not doing it. And because you're not doing it, you're like kids. You need to go back to elementary school. He says strong meat, literally their doctrine, God's word, belongs to those that use it and have their senses strengthened by it. You want your sensitivity strengthened. You want to be able to discern God's spirit better, then start using it. What God says to you, do it. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, John chapter 13, verse 17, he would say, happy, blessed are you if you do these things that I'm sharing with you. That's the key. Don't be deceived about your foundation. Don't be decreased in his fire for you. The opposite is true. If you say today, Matt, I heard you, Matt. I'm going to be one now. When I hear it, I'm going to start doing it to the best of my ability. Watch and see your life get a solidity. Watch and see your foundation be solid. Watch and see a sensitivity to God's Spirit increase in your life as you simply listen to what He has to say to you and say, I'm going to obey. I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer. I'm not going to be a hearer only, but I'm going to be a doer of what You share with me, Lord. Watch and see. And there are some here this morning that, you know what? God's been speaking to you for years, for months, for weeks. He's been saying, you need to accept My Son, Jesus Christ. You walked away 10 years ago. You turned your back because a storm came. And God's saying to you this morning, I want you to come back. You've heard His voice in other messages, in other sermons, at other times. You've heard it time and time again. And you've said, no, I'm not going to do it now. Family has shared with you. Accept Jesus Christ. Don't you see the solidity that it brings? Don't you see the purpose that it brings? And you've said no. And that voice is getting weaker and weaker and weaker in your life. Statistics show every day that goes by, every year that passes, it gets that much more difficult for people to accept Jesus Christ. The older you get, the weaker that voice is in your life, the less likely you are to accept Jesus. This morning, I want to offer you salvation. God spoke to you. He's ministered to you. Here's another opportunity for you. Accept Jesus Christ. What does that mean, Matt? Well, it means simply this. Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins. Everything that you've ever done, every bad motive, every bad thought, every lie, everything you've ever done, God has paid for it. And He now wants to forgive you of it. He wants to cleanse you from your sin. He wants to provide a solid foundation for your life all the way into eternity. He's prepared a place for you. Your job is simply to say, I repent. Just like these guys did in Acts chapter 2. Repent. I accept that gift. I repent from the way I was, and I'm going to live anew. I'm going to be baptized. You can be baptized today with us. We're going to Riverside Park. If that's you, God's been speaking to you for months, weeks, years. I want you to do something. I want you to stand up and walk down here. Stand up. That's tough, Matt. It is. The Bible says this. Jesus says, if you'll declare Me before men, I'll declare you before My Father. If you deny Me before men, I'll deny you before My Father. Make it public. Go on record. Say, God, You spoke to my heart for many months, for many years. And now I'm going to accept. I'm not going to quench that fire any longer. Praise the Lord. You can just wait right here. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Don't let another day go by. Don't let that voice weaken. It's strong on you right now. It's speaking to you. Join with these. Join with this family at Edgewater Christian Fellowship. We welcome you. We want you here. We want to be involved in your life. See God put you on a permanent foundation. See God begin to speak to your heart in a powerful way. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for these folks that have heard your spirit, have been pricked in their own hearts, and have declared, "What shall we do? Repent, accept Jesus Christ, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, Father, I pray right now for a spiritual awakening in their hearts, Lord, that you would quicken their spirits even right now, that you would let them know that they have been made white as snow, that old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, that they are a new creation in Christ. Thank you for them, Lord. Bless us at Edgewater, Lord. May we be a congregation that is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have leadership come up, we'll, you guys wait here for 1 second. Leadership, come up and join with me here. And you guys are excused. God bless you.